Got a double dip illegally served coming in today. Franz Borkhardt and Richard Sprinkle tag team it. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
It's an unfiltered morning, baby.
Good it is morning. Legally unfiltered. Is Legally Unfiltered coming back soon?
It yes. is.
All right, yes. good.
Soon.
Long since
locally
overdue.
Locally and nationally.
Locally and nationally?
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean, it's on the World Wide Web, so I would imagine it's internationally.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Stay tuned. All right. Mm. All right, boys. I there's no way we can start at any other spot than where we're going to start, and that was with the former president of the United States. We got 2 days in on jury selection for former President Donald Trump's hush money trial against Baton Rouge's own Stormy Daniels. 2 days in, 7 jurors seated. I saw the story on Yahoo, and I've got to ask the question. Can you find an impartial jury when the defendant is Donald Trump?
So let me pose a question to answer your question. Do you have feelings about Donald Trump one way or another?
Yeah.
Can you put those feelings about Donald Trump, strong or weak, one way or another, to the side and give him a fair trial?
All right. I think I could. But
you think
I,
you could.
I think I could.
That's not but, I'm sure I could.
No, it's not I'm sure.
Right.
I think I could, but I got to tell you, if I'm sitting there in the courtroom with Donald Trump being all Donald Trump with his Trumpy antics and whatnot, I think I would be susceptible to changing my mind, not based on the facts of the case, but based off of him acting up.
So, international celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
People have strong feelings one way or another.
Yes.
There's no middle ground with that.
Yep. So there's a famous judge. Judge Cardozo has a quote about things just like this. Here's the nerdy lawyer quote.
Go for it.
We may try to see things as objectively as we please, but nonetheless, we can never see them with any eyes except our own. Everybody's got experiences. Everybody's lived through the 8 years of his presidency. Everybody knows him.
Four
years of his presidency.
He has not been the president the last 4 years, but yet still has garnered more attention than the president. I'm following up on that because even though he has not been the president, everyone is expecting, hey, he's going to be the president again real soon.
Right.
And you know, sleepy Joe Biden is holding down the fort.
We all remember, you know, the before the presidency fame of Donald Trump.
You fired.
So everybody's got an opinion one way or the other on the guy. He was on the WWF at one time.
WWE.
EF. I don't know.
All right. So they've seated 7 jurors already. Richard, you were saying that's not unheard of.
That's not. So they started with 96 and wound up with 7. I was on a jury trial last week, and we started, the first pool was in the 70s, maybe close to 80. We wound up seating 4 out of that pool.
So there's a dual problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One, you've got to be careful that one juror in the veneer, the pool, doesn't say something to taint, although I can't imagine that scenario, but says something that ruins the entire panel.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a high profile guy though, right? This is not like someone's accused of murder. It was in the news a lot, but the news cycle is come and gone, and maybe I don't remember the name, maybe I don't remember the details. Everybody knows this dude. He was in Home Alone 2.
Briefly. I mean, but no, he had The Apprentice, he had The Celebrity Apprentice. I mean, he has done...
Richard had an interesting theory.
More on more platforms, specifically in New York, when it comes to rebuilding in New York.
Right.
And the ice rink, and like all of it, everything that he did in New York, everything you read about in The Art of the Deal. Like, it just, this trial is in his home. Mm-hmm. He's known around the world. I would have to imagine that's magnified by 10 when you're talking about being in Manhattan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's literally on his home turf.
Yeah.
And then who lives in Manhattan? Think about who lives in Manhattan.
Okay.
Okay. So it's probably, I mean, not necessarily right-leaning, but it's going to be people that have the money to live in Manhattan, right?
Yes, and I'm guessing they're not right-leaning. I mean, at least New York has not been a right-leaning state.
Richard had a very interesting theory about sleeper juries.
Sure. Well, I want to explore that, and we've only got 15 seconds until we have to break for news. So let's go ahead and take that break right now. Attorney Franz Borkhardt, Attorney Richard Sprinkle, they are both in for Legally Serve. Franz is going to bounce in about 8 minutes to get out of here to go do court TV. Because
love you guys.
I know. Well, clearly.
Keep watching and listening to Mornings with Brian Haldane, though.
That's
what I'm saying.
I don't think that was a question.
Don't watch CourtTV.com.
I don't think that was going to be a thing. It's not really your best prep for the morning right there. It's all good. Guys, we're talking about the Donald Trump jury, and they've seated 7 so far. Judge takes Wednesdays off to go do like personal.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Judge takes Wednesdays off to go do like public service. This trial
this
is
could be the most important trial pre-election.
100%.
This judge's courtroom is dark on Wednesday.
Yes.
Does he work on Saturday or Sunday?
No.
Apparently not.
No.
So four day week.
Here's the thing though. He goes and does volunteer work on Wednesdays. So they're shut
down.
Does
he work late the other days?
I really don't think you're fixating on the right thing here.
No, we are.
I think you're both bitter attorneys right now.
I mean, can you imagine? Hold on. I know we're about to derail this. Can you imagine? Judge, I can't come to court on Wednesday. I don't work on Wednesday, Judge.
Could be reading.
I do service.
I'm
going
to be reading to an elementary school class on Wednesday. I'm going to have to miss. No, I realize that. And you think about the gravity of this trial, the weight of this trial. A former president on trial for paying a porn star hush money. Shout out Scott Linville.
I think we could say it's huge.
Huge.
It's huge.
It is. And he's going to put this on hold every Wednesday to go serve lunch at St. Vincent de Paul.
The guy's got plans, Brian. He's got plans.
If you want public service, speedy justice for a former president would be about the best public service you could offer on this day.
Huge.
Going out and cleaning up Essen and Jefferson with Jennifer
Trump can't miss a day to go watch his oral arguments at the Supreme Court.
So it's not uncommon. It is not uncommon to work on a Saturday in some states.
No.
Okay.
And then the question becomes, elections when? November.
November.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
How long is this trial going to last?
Right.
What are they projecting?
Well, but here's the thing, though. If you're Donald Trump, this is actually a good thing because Tuesday, once court is out, you can go campaign on Wednesday. You could fly out to Iowa or California or Oregon and then fly back.
Yeah. That does put him at a decisive disadvantage.
4 days a week, he cannot campaign because he's got to be in court. Mm-hmm. And then there's the 1 day a week because the judge is out. Because the judge has to go help clean up Essen at Jefferson with Jennifer Richardson and keep Tigertown beautiful on a Wednesday. Like, because the judge is doing... By the way, the judge is in New York. None of that's actually happening. But because the judge is taking the day off every Wednesday, Donald Trump still gets to campaign 1 day a week till this is over with.
I just... Does this really even change the election? But point is...
No. But that's the point of the whole topic, right?
Right.
If you can't find an impartial jury, what does that say about the upcoming election?
If you never were going to vote for Donald Trump, can you sit in judgment? I mean, I do believe there are human beings that are like, I hate Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean I can't follow the law. And it doesn't mean I'm going to convict somebody if they don't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. I do believe those unicorns exist.
They're called really good judges.
See, and I'm the flip side of that. It's like, I don't hate Donald Trump, but I do believe that I'd be willing to listen to the actual facts of the case.
Yeah. So I believe that those people exist. I also believe what Richard has characterized as the sleeper cell jurors exist as well.
Oh, yeah. Both sides. So that's a juror who's really wants to be on this jury. And anybody who's picked a jury is cautious about any attorney who's picked a jury is cautious about anybody who really, really, really wants to be there because they're either looking to sink your client or looking to rule in favor of your client. And either one can screw up the process, and you could wind up with a mistrial and having to do the whole thing over again.
What's the likelihood of a mistrial here, considering 100%. All
it's getting there? 100%. Oh, baby. I'll go 99.999 on that.
Or a hung jury.
Or a hung jury. Yeah.
I mean,
which ends up in mistrial. Yeah. So, yeah.
Because when you look at all the extenuating circumstances, when you look at the fact that, and I know you said this, it's not unusual to take 2+ days to seat a jury.
No, not
but when
all.
You look at the... What we've got with this particular defendant in this particular time and place, I don't know how we get from point A to point B.
Well, the judge's first question to these panels is lets half of them out immediately because he asks the whole group of 96, raise your hands if you can't give this defendant an honest trial. And
how about
half of them raise their hand because they want to go home.
How about somebody that says, I don't even know who Donald Trump is.
But I'm out.
Because you know there's people who are like, who's Donald Trump?
Let's walk down that path real quick before you get out. You got 2 minutes till you got to go. Let's walk down that path before you got to go. If someone walks into a courtroom and says, I've never heard of Donald Trump, as attorneys, would either of y'all put that man on a jury?
They're either lying or they live under a rock.
Nah, they're lying. There's no living under a rock. It's not possible.
What you got to watch for also is there are bits and pieces about Donald Trump that have not been substantiated. Like the picture of him next to Epstein.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Next to Epstein with like, and the pictures where there's like the young looking young ladies, and like, that has nothing to do with this trial.
Right.
Right.
But there are people that have saw that, seen mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can they put that out of their minds?
Right.
You know, or, you know, I just, guys, I.
The bigger the celebrity, the harder it's going to be to get an honest jury panel. And this, I mean, you're talking about celebrity of almost immeasurable magnitude because celebrity turned president.
Right.
It's crazy.
Half the people have sounded off in favor of him. Half the people have sounded off against him.
So very few are in the middle. I'm making this prediction here on your show first. He's not going to get convicted if they can even get to a verdict. I think that they're reaching at best on this one.
Right.
All right. Now, there's the political aspect of this where I have to ask, can you use what's going on in court to your political advantage?
Well, I think in the sense that either side is, I mean, people who love him are going to vote for him, and they're not going to change whether he gets convicted or not. In fact, they'll double down if he's a convicted felon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's people who hate him that are going to still hate him whether he gets convicted or not.
Convicted felon equals persecuted in this regard.
Martyr. Right.
So,
right.
Martyr, you know, right. Absolutely.
They don't want to give the people their choice.
The people. He's Attorney Franz Borkhardt. He's got to get out of here. Attorney Richard Sprinkle staying with us for one more segment of Legally Served. No, don't move until the break. We're going to stay on the mics. We're on until the break. So I understand. We got 1 minute till we got a break. All right. In that 1 minute, Richard, let's set the table for our next story. It brings it home to Louisiana and home to Ponchatoula.
Sure.
Where I'm not
a smart man.
100% sure where to go with this topic, except I don't want to make fun of it because a person died.
I know.
But at the same time, though, it's ripe for the pickings. Ponchatoula man arrested. Yeah. For estranged wife's homicide.
Right.
So, all right, 30 seconds till break. Here we go. A Ponchatoula man was arrested for the March killing of his estranged wife.
Mm-hmm.
49-year-old David Hernandez was booked on Monday for second-degree murder and obstruction of justice charges for the March 20th homicide of his wife, Lisa Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
The couple had been separated for a year when David began stalking Lisa, randomly showing up to her workplace, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office deputies said. David Hernandez reportedly sent Lisa a bouquet of lilies, which she is highly allergic to.
Yep.
Deputies also recovered a tracking device from the wife's car, which was linked back to David.
Yep.
All right. Here on Legally Served, Attorney Richard Sprinkle sticking around for a little while longer before we meet up with ABC News at the top of the hour. As we were heading into the break, we were setting the table for our next topic, Richard, and that is a Ponchatoula man, 49-year-old David Hernandez, accused of killing his wife, Lisa Hernandez. On the day that Lisa was murdered, David reportedly staged a burglary at her residence and later dumped items that he used in the killing into Lake Pontchartrain. Those items were later recovered by detectives. I've got to ask you, like, this guy seems like he's playing from the, or he's pulling cards from the Vince Marinello playbook.
Right.
For those that don't remember, right after Hurricane Katrina, Vince Marinello, a longtime broadcaster in New Orleans, killed his wife.
Yep.
Vince actually passed recently.
Yeah.
Killed his wife.
Yep.
He had a checklist of things he had to do. He bought a horrible disguise. He brought an old gun into a gun store and said, I need this to solve a problem. He dumped all of his evidence except for the checklist, which he left in his FEMA trailer. He was on a bicycle on Metairie Road.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It was crazy.
It was just everything he did made him look like a clown.
Yeah.
Now, this guy likely went to a lot of effort to put this plan together.
Oh, yeah.
Likely went to a lot of effort to make sure that he looked like this was going to be all in the clear, right?
Yeah.
Up to and including dumping all of the evidence into Lake Pontchartrain.
I mean, did he do it from the shore? Was he on a boat? They seem to have found it pretty easily.
Maybe, you know, did he haul down to Man Shack and go behind Middendorf?
Chuck it over the bridge.
Or did he drive down to Mandeville, hit up the causeway?
I have questions.
I got many, many questions. But the thing of it is like, There, number one, there's no perfect murder.
No, and again, I shouldn't be laughing. Somebody did die.
And here, that's the other thing. Somebody did die here in Louisiana, man,
it's low-hanging fruit.
It really is.
It's low-hanging fruit. So
he bought her lilies.
Lilies, which she's highly allergic to. Sent them. Had them delivered.
Right. So you got a paper trail on that.
Right.
Right? Genius. Then you got the tracking device on the car.
Which is directly linked to you. I mean, were these air tags? What were
they? I would assume so. Yeah. That's the easiest and cheapest way to do it.
Right, right, right. Which were directly linked to him. I mean, he may as well have just sent the cops a note. Hey, I'm going to do this.
That's what I'm saying. If you do all these things ahead of time, are you not setting the stage for, I'm going to kill somebody?
I mean,
this is going to continue to escalate until it doesn't.
These are the same kind of red flags. In a different context, same kind of red flags, you know, the Michigan mom and dad were supposed to have seen with their kid.
Right.
But yet nobody's like, well, they've been estranged for a year and he's sending her poisonous flowers, which she's allergic to, and he's tracking her car, which, I mean, were the cops, like, sleeping that day? I mean,
well, okay, what's going on? From a law enforcement perspective,
right.
I would wonder if, like, further steps weren't taken to keep him away from her.
Well, I mean, the flowers were sent, but that's a great reason to get a protective order, right?
There. Yeah.
I mean, go ask for a protective order.
You know, protective orders, I mean, you know, paper can only do so much.
But that starts paper trail.
No, it does. Yeah. It does. And he's got plenty of paper trail and digital trail, too. And, you know, people signed off on things along the way. So the paper trail to convict him, I don't think is very difficult here. I think... this is more a matter of, could this have been prevented, and what could have prevented it?
Right.
And let's go back to the flowers.
Yep.
Okay? An estranged husband sends his estranged wife flowers that everyone knows she's allergic to, right?
Right.
Is that a prosecutable offense right there? Could she have pressed charges right at that moment and said, this is some form of assault?
I think a creative prosecutor could have written that up just exactly that way.
Okay.
At the very least, I mean, you've got some sort of stalking charge there. You've got some sort of harassment, and possibly an assault charge, because you can assault somebody with a noxious substance. So that's, I think you can find a way to work the poisonous flowers into that.
All right, ahead of time. Yep. I mean, now it's too late. Obviously,
now it's too late, right?
Yeah. So, this is going to be a slam dunk over there in Tangipahoa Parish.
I'm not sure what the defense is going to be. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha. All right, 2 minutes to go here. Let's hit on one more story. 81-year-old man fatally shot an Uber driver after scammers targeted both of them. Yeah. This is a baffling story, Richard.
So did you hear the whole scam?
Yes. Right?
So they're telling the Uber driver, you got to go pick up a package from this guy's house, and it's somebody she doesn't even know.
Right.
You got to go pick up a package from this guy's house or else. And they're telling the guy, you got to give all this money to somebody who's coming over to your house or else.
Right.
It's like something out of a movie. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes. You know, it is. It feels like it's something out of a movie. So what happens is the Uber driver goes over to 81-year-old William Brock's house.
Right.
William Brock thinks that the Uber driver is in on it.
Sure.
Pulls the gun on her. Right.
Yeah. Shoots her once and then starts asking her questions about who's behind this.
Right.
Who sent you? This, that, and the other, and then shoots her two more times. Supposedly, Mr. Brock gets hit in the head at some point, unfortunately, the Uber driver did succumb to her injuries in the hospital.
Yeah. This, I feel like, is going to be a much more difficult case to prosecute.
We
all know that he shot her, right? We all saw that. That was on the video. Not the shooting was on the video, but him backing her down with a gun is on video.
Backing her down with a gun's on video. And so he's going to have problems, because I don't know that Stand Your Ground is going to protect him in a case like this.
I don't think it's Stand Your Ground. I don't know if Pennsylvania or Ohio has Stand Your Ground.
Well, but regardless, it didn't look like that kind of situation.
No, he is the aggressor here.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's going to have problems with the defense on that. This is going to be tricky. Because they're going to have to figure out where those calls originated from. That person's going to be some sort of accessory.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an interesting case.
In order to successfully defend 81-year-old William Brock, are they going to have to find the scammers? Or is the story of the scam going to be enough? Because remember, one of the two people being scammed can't testify because they're dead.
Right. My concern is, even if you find the scammers, it's not the greatest defense, because like I said, Stand Your Ground's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it may be more what we call mitigation, like things that will maybe drop him from a murder charge to maybe a manslaughter charge.
I tell you what, it's a great story to explore in the next episode of Legally Unfiltered, which is on its way back. He's attorney Richard Sprinkle. Thank you for sticking around. I greatly appreciate
it. Anytime, man.